Good evening, Bible Way Church. Thank you for joining this broadcast this evening, and this will be for Wednesday, and I believe that's April the 8th. I do appreciate you tuning in, and also we continue to get word that people all around the country are seeing the broadcast, and we hope it's a blessing to you and that you'll share it with other folks. So this evening, our order of service will open. We'll have some prayer requests. Brother Coulter is going to come and share the burden for the work that God has called him to. And then, of course, the pastor will bring the message this evening. Hope that you'll be praying for us. I'd like to open in prayer, and then we'll have our announcements. Dear Lord, we do thank you for the privilege to be here this evening, God, to just stand in this place and, Lord, to worship you in spirit and truth. Your word has taught us, Lord, just a great promise, Lord, just that where there are two or three gathered in your name, that you'd be in the midst of them. Lord, I wish we had 203 here this evening, but, Lord, we don't quite have that amount. Just a handful here, but Jesus, we thank you for being here with us. God, I pray that you be with the pastor as he brings the message. And Lord, as this recording goes out to each home, Lord, you know the circumstances in that home. Lord, you know what the needs are, the burdens are. Lord, I know right now there are people who probably have great peace about all that's going on, and then people, Lord, who are struggling with great anxiety. Lord, I just pray that the God of perfect peace will just reign in all hearts. Lord, give us the things we need. Help us to look unto you. Lord, these things we ask in your blessed name. Amen. Now, one of the things I look forward to is God does wonderful things in people's life. And when all this is behind us, I look forward to hearing the stories of what happened in people's life, opportunities where God met a need or opened a door or gave you the opportunity to be a blessing to someone. And as we, as we are in this most unusual time, I would encourage us to remember that we are the body of Christ, and that we ought to be the nicest people in the room, and we ought to be the most patient. We ought to be the ones who are encouraging everybody else through the Scripture and through the circumstances of life. And again, I look forward to what God does in our lives and those stories that we'll hear soon as soon as we're back together. So we do have some prayer requests this evening. I want to make these known. There's a five-month-old baby at Vanderbilt. She is facing heart surgery. They were putting in a feeding tube. And, again, just 5 months old. Her name is Samantha. Would ask you to pray for her. Also, we've gotten word that Mandy Hagee is still in the hospital. Pray for her. Pray for Brother Jim, who's right there beside of her. He's got my vote for Father of the Year. He's always great to help his daughter. And just pray that they'll be okay. They'll get to go home soon. Of course, remember Brother Brian. Back from Houston and getting his strength back, and pray for Miss Kim as they go forward and settle into being at home for a little while. I would ask you to remember Sister Margaret Ketron and Brother Zeke, also Brother Larry Hilton, Rhonda Tiller, and Sister Ruth Johnson, if you'll remember all those in prayer. And then the pastor's given us a few others. Remember our country, the missionaries that we have all over the world. We're facing this thing from the strength of the United States. And this church helps missionaries who are in countries that their hospitalization system is already, challenged, and they already struggle to have the things they need. So pray for these missionaries around the world. I do want you to remember our healthcare workers, our first responders. And we actually had a request that came in from Debbie and Thurman. Their son, Zach, is working in the ICU unit in Boston. So he's very, very much, in contact with this terrible disease. And, of course, Lucas, he also works in Kentucky in anesthesia. But remember that family. That was a special request that came in. And all of those who were on the front line with our health care needs. Remember one another. Remember the elderly and the shut-in. And Brother Jim's mom, Pansy, and Reba Horton, they're at Crown Cypress. Brother Wayne Good's not here, but if he was, he would always say, remember the boys in jail, those who are incarcerated. And, when you meet these people, you get to know a lot of these folks in jail. Yes, they're there for a reason, and some of them have been very, very, very bad people. But you do find people that have just fallen, they made bad choices, they've fallen into sin, and do pray for them that they'll learn their lesson, and that when they are released, they'll get back to the life that they want to have. Remember the ministry of Salvation Army and other ministries like this that are trying to help people in need during this season of the year. Really want to remind you as we finish out these prayer requests, just really want you to pray for one for another. Do ask you to remember our pastor as he continues to just have a burden to get the recording out. With the prayer requests behind us, would also like to make some announcements. Do want us to remember social distancing. We bring that up in every broadcast, and we try to practice it here as much as possible. We try not to get within 6 feet of each other. Not many people here, by the way. So we got lots of room to move around. But if you're out, do remember to wash your hands, the guideline to wear the masks. You want to be safe. And I heard someone say this week, they said that when all this is over, they hope that people will be able to take pride in the things they've done. I would echo that. But I would also say we want to, when this thing is over, look back and say we have no regrets about the thing that we did. And sometimes those are two different things. But do smart things. Make sure that you stay away from people. And if you've got any of the symptoms, that you're just very diligent for that. Okay, our offering, Easter Sunday coming up, do want you to remember, you can bring your offering, you can mail that in, and the Easter Sunday services will be similar to what Brother Vinoy has orchestrated for the last couple of weeks. Do look forward to Easter Sunday, those important three words, He is risen, and I know it'll be an unusual Easter. I've never had one like it in my life, and I guess the same for most of you. Where we will be separated from each other. We won't be here in the same building, but we'll be serving the same Savior. We'll be singing those songs in our heart. We'll just be rejoicing about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I do ask you to remember that coming up. With that, remember our prayer meeting. The broadcast goes on, thanks to Richard and Jim. That gets put up and ready for viewing at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Sunday school. We'll be at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and Easter Sunday coming up, and we may have a surprise for you on Sunday school. You're going to want to be sure and tune in for this particular Sunday particularly, and of course the pastor's message at 11 a.m. on Sunday. So we've got much to pray about, church, and do ask you to remember these prayer requests, and maybe we're just getting ready to start getting out of this thing, but it'll be nice to have everybody back here soon. With that, we're going to ask Brother Coulter if he'll come this evening, and the Lord's called him into a specific ministry, and he's going to share some of his burden with us. Brother Coulter.
Sure is good to be in the Lord's house tonight, even if it looks empty, but I know that I've got brothers and sisters all across the globe, and I hope many of them tune in, and it sure is good to be here. And I've got a simple thought. I was asked to present my burden. The Lord has called me into a ministry, and the Lord has called me into the Rock of Ages prison ministry, and that's the direction I'm heading. And the verse he gave me was Luke 4:18, and the verse is, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." And I know that's from Isaiah originally, and that is talking about Jesus, and Jesus is standing here today fulfilling that prophecy when this is written in the Bible here, and it's in red ink, and it's the very words of our dear Jesus. Well, you know what? I'm the follower after him like every Christian, and every Christian, the Spirit of the Lord is upon them. And every spirit has that, every person has that, should have that goal to walk after the Lord and to be as close to him as you can. And the Lord, he gave me this verse to stand on, Pastor. And that's the word said, the Bible says he magnifies his word more than his very name. And if there's anything I could stand on, it's that. Yes, the very week that I completed candidacy school and stepped out on deputation the very week the state shut down the churches, or they asked us not to congregate. And one of my dear brothers said, "Boy, you chose a hard time to go on deputation when there's a famine in the land." Well, you know what? I've got this very verse. And if there's anything I could stand on, it's that right there, that very verse. God's word, he holds it above his very name, and I'm a standing on it. Amen. There ain't a higher place you could stand. There ain't a greater mountaintop to stand on. And so here I am, and I'm a-looking, and God's called me to this mission field, these prisoners, these inmates. And you know, I've been a-thinking, Pastor. I went to my prayer field last night, this big old green field, and I sowed clover, and it's as thick as green carpet. And I planted my mama's wisteria vines a few years ago, and I took starts off of them, and there at my own house, I can remember her there in the prettiest purple blooms you ever did see. And I'll go out to my prayer field, which is in an elevated location, and I can look down on a river, and I can hear the geese honk, and sometimes maybe even a turkey gobble. Well, you know what? There's men that can't hear that. There's men, I'm thinking about the Faith Dorm in Alabama. There's men that are, their bunks aren't even socially distanced apart. They can't get socially distant. Their bunks are stacked in like dry cordwood waiting on a fire. I can't imagine how it'd be laying there of a night and you hear somebody on the far end of coughing and you wonder when it's going to get to you. And wouldn't that be terrible? You're laying there. There's nowhere to go. You can't get apart. And you're waiting at it. Boy, it'd be hard on a man's peace, wouldn't it? Well, they can have peace. Oh, we'll go over to Isaiah. I woke up this morning with this verse on my mind. I was thinking about how they can't get to a peaceful place. And it says in Isaiah chapter 49, and it's verse 8, and it says, "Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages." Those heritages. Desolate means abandoned, to my understanding. There's a lot of heritages that have been abandoned. As a matter of fact, every little man, woman, girl, boy in that prison is a heritage. Every child ever born is a heritage. As a matter of fact, it says over in Psalms, it says in, let's see here, it says in 127, verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Every little child born on this planet has a purpose to give Him glory. Now, sin gets in the way of that, and death gets in the way of that. They go towards sin and not towards the Lord and don't get saved. And you see that heritage. That's somebody's heritage in them jail cells and them bars. Somebody's little boy or girl that they were the Lord's heritage and they went, sin has dragged them toward death. They're headed in the wrong direction. They're our heritage. And I like what that verse said there in Isaiah. It said, to establish earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. What's that mean? That means God can take an abandoned heritage. Amen. And He can cash it in. Amen. And it says that thou mayest say to the prisoners, "Go forth to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pasture shall be in all high places." Pastor, they might have a little old bunk, and that might be the only real estate they got, a little old skinny bunk. But you know what? They can cry in that pillow, and they can put their whisper in that pillow. And they can appeal to the living God. If they know Jesus, they can know a better place. They can know a pasture, if it will. Hey, man, they can go and they can be in heaven when they're in a dark place. And it says, "They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For He hath mercy on them, shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall it guide them. And I'll make all my mountains away, and all my highways shall be exalted." Hey, man, that's talking to the prisoners right there. Hey, man, what's it take to have that? It takes Jesus. Hey, man, they could be caught in a little old room, but they could be, they could feel, they could have a mountaintop and a bunk. Hey, man. And it says, "Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim." It says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted His people and will have mercy upon His afflicted." There's a lot of them that don't know Jesus. Some of them don't even know who He is. Well, it says in Romans chapter 10, says, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? God's called. I ain't worthy to preach the gospel. Oh, but he saved me. Amen. Then he called me to preach. Amen. Then he called me again. And it says to the north and the west. I read there just a minute ago. Well, that happens to be the very direction the Lord has called me. My short-term goal is to go to West Virginia and help Brother Preacher Castle. He's going to have West Virginia. That is northwest of my East Tennessee home. And there's prisoners there looking for a mountaintop. I want to tell them how to reach a mountaintop. Amen. Without having to go anywhere with their old body. Amen. And then even further long-term goal, as deputation allows, I hope to go to Alaska. That's about as far north and west as you can go. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of mountaintops there and the desolate places. And the name Jesus is even more foreign than it is in West Virginia. It's a very foreign name there. Oh, but there's no other name. There's no other name that'll do a man any good than Jesus. And I want to take my precious Lord's name there and tell him what he did for them, that they might be free. I'd like the Lord to gather up them abandoned heritages, them little old sons and daughters meant to praise the Lord. I want to see the Lord God claim them. And them to fulfill what they were meant to do. Every little old child. Children are an heritage to the Lord, it says. That's including them born and not born. I believe that very dearly. I believe my sister showed me that them old babies in the womb, they'll gulp that fluid in there. And they say they're practicing breathing. Well, you know, if everything that has breath, give him praise. You know what they're doing? They're practicing giving him praise before sin enters the picture. The Lord, he can plenteously redeem. Somebody has to tell them about the Lord. And that's my goal. That's my call. There ain't nothing I'd rather do, and I ain't looking to do nothing else. So that's the direction I'm bound, north and west. West Virginia first. That state said to be wild and wonderful. Amen. My Lord sure can make things wild and wonderful. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Coulter. I believe the Lord's going to use you, brother, in a mighty way. We appreciate you being here tonight. Appreciate the Lord being here tonight. Many, many, many men and women are locked up. Many juveniles are locked up. And a lot of people look down on them. But I tell you what, Jesus looked down and he said, I'll just go down, give my life for them so they can come up and be with me. Amen. Not all the prisoners are going to get saved, just like not all the people on the street in Kingsport are going to get saved. But praise God, some are. Amen. And I appreciate that so very much. If you have your Bibles tonight, you'd like to turn with us, let's turn over to the book of John tonight, the book of John's Gospel. And this has been on my heart for a while, and it kind of went away, and then the Lord brought it back to my heart and mind as I was driving to the church in the early afternoon hours. And I believe this is where the Lord wants us for the prayer meeting. I know that it's an unusual time that we live in. This is not, it's just not the same. I used to preach on the radio, and I've been to the radio station a few times. Most of the time I made the radio broadcast in the church there where I pastored. And it's just not the same. It's just not the same as getting together with God's people. But I believe that we just need to do the best we can. And I know the Lord can use it. I know that he is using it, and I thank him for that. In the book of John, we're in chapter number 20 tonight. The book of John, chapter number 20. I love the book of John. The book of John, it comes down to the end. It said that in verse 30, it said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. That even fits with my lesson tonight, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing you might have life through his name. one of our ladies asked me today to pray for a lady that she walked with, and said she didn't have much faith, and I think she said that her background was Catholic. And you know, I understand that there's a lot of people, I even said it Sunday, Brother Steve, that they're going into what they call a holy week, and they don't know anything about the holiness of God, the forgiveness of God, nothing about being born again. But it's our prayer that this precious lady will come to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. Tonight, I want to begin reading in verse number 19. In verse number 19 of John chapter number 20, the Bible said, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Tonight, if there's anything in this world that we need in this generation that we live in, we need God to breathe on his people. We need God to help us that we might be the help, Brother Steve, that he wants us to be to others. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to stand here, Lord, and to hear the prayer request and to listen to the man of God pray, Lord, and know, Lord, that you hear and answer prayer. Thank you, Lord, to get to listen to the man of God present his burden, our Father, and know, Lord, that you're still calling men, Lord, because you still love souls. Lord, I appreciate a young man that's willing, our Lord, to give up a good job, Lord, to take on the best job. Lord, the best job that's ever been for mankind is doing the work that God, you've called him to do. I pray now, Father, that you'll use us tonight. I know that our people, Lord, tonight, many of them are hurting physically. Some of them, Lord, are hurting spiritually and emotionally. And it's a dark time that we live in. But God, I pray tonight you use this pastor to be an encouragement to them. Use the Word of God. Lord, may the Spirit of God take the Word of God and do the work that needs to be done. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name. And all of God's youngins said, Amen. Well, tonight I want to title the lesson, Turning a Sad Time into a Glad Time. Turning a Sad Time into a Glad Time. I was reading this and the Lord gave me the message, meditating on the passage. And then when I began to read it, he gave me the title for the message. When the Bible said here, they saw his hands and his side, and then were the disciples glad. I want you to understand tonight that it was a sad time in their life. These men had walked with Jesus. They had seen him heal the leper. They had seen him heal the sick. They had seen him raise the dead. They had seen him feed the multitudes. They had seen Jesus and been with Jesus as he was transfigured there. And they were with Jesus to see him calm the storm. They saw Jesus as he called the common man, as he would walk up to a fisherman and say, Come, follow me. As he would walk up to a tax collector and say, Come, follow me. And men would just leave what they were doing and follow the Lord. This man that they had known as their friend and their Lord had been crucified. They were meeting behind closed doors. It was a sad a sad occasion. I wonder, Brother Steve, if they weren't thinking along the lines, we may be next. Everybody knows that we walked with him. Everybody knows that we followed him. And they might have been thinking, we might be next. And there were some things tonight that God put in my heart, that how was this sad time turned into a glad time? I believe that in America right now and around the world, I believe it's a sad time. I'll get my phone out because I looked something up just a while ago, and I want to share with you. Worldwide, there's 1,413,415 confirmed cases of this virus. Worldwide, 298,000 have recovered, and worldwide, there's been just a little over 81,000 deaths. When you look at that and you just say, well, that's just numbers. No, that's somebody's mommy. That's somebody's daddy. That's somebody's brother, somebody's sister. Even in the United States, if you just narrow it down to the United States, you see the numbers confirmed, 392,000, recovered, 21,300, and then the deaths now are 12,627. In the big scheme of things, it might not seem too bad, but I want you to understand this tonight. There's a lot of sad families in our land. They'll never get to have a party, a birthday party with Mamaw and Papaw again. They'll never get to go fishing with Papaw again, Brother Steve, or get to go hunting with Papaw again or anything like that. I just want you to see that, listen, if it's not touched your home, then you ought to shout glory to God. But what you ought to do is pick up somebody else's burden and pray for them. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Use this time to pray. Use this time to get in the Word of God and get closer to the Lord. I just have it in my heart tonight to just share with you what happened in this text and how that this sad time was turned into a glad time. And there's several things here that I believe are important. It's a sad time in the life of the disciples, but I'm going to tell you it's fixing to be a glad time. It may be a sad time tonight, listen to me carefully, in the lives of many of the children of God. Listen, if your loved one was saved by the grace of God, then you know where they are. And David said when his little boy died, he said, I can't bring him back, but he said, I can go be with him. The COVID virus didn't take my mama out. Cancer did. The COVID virus didn't take my daddy out. Cancer did. I want you to know this. Something's going to take every one of us out. Amen. And the main thing is to be ready to go when you're called out. Because listen, if we're not ready, then a sad time is going to be turned into a sadder time. Because, beloved, this world has never seen sadness like they're going to see if they leave this world without Jesus. The little children that Brother Coulter mentioned a while ago, been better they had never been born than to grow up and leave this world without Jesus. And so tonight, that's the truth. But in the Bible, God has something here. He wants to turn our attention from the sad time and see what it is that turns it into a glad time. And I hope and pray that this will be a blessing. First of all tonight, his presence. That's what turns it into a glad time. Jesus, the door's being shut. You see, he didn't need anybody to open the door. He didn't need nobody to tear down the wall. But the presence of God, he just stepped right into the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. The Bible said in Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I just want you to understand tonight. Listen, when he shows up, he can turn a sad time into a glad time. Amen. I remember being there in the room, in the bedroom when my dad passed. I remember the sorrow. I remember the grieving. And I remember just
walking around, and my daddy's laying there in the bed. I remember just saying, "Oh, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." I remember it like it was yesterday. I lost my daddy. But I tell you what God did. He showed up, and he turned a sad time into a glad time. I just got to thinking, Lord, Daddy, the next time I see you, you ain't going to look like that. Amen. The next time I see you, you're going to have that glorified body. And beloved, he won't be hurting. He won't be coughing up blood. Amen. And he won't have cancer anymore. And he'll be full of joy and full of life because the Bible promised us so. You say, preacher, what made the difference at 2:30 in the morning? There with your daddy laying in the bed, having passed away, left this walk of life, breathed his last breath here, breathed his first breath over yonder, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Preacher, what happened? I'll tell you, the Lord showed up. Amen. And his presence made the difference. Amen. Turned my sadness into gladness. The Word of God said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Honey, when he's present, you got all the help that you need. I hope and pray to God, beloved, that our congregation and our families can get through this unscathed. And I hope that everyone will be careful, as Brother Steve has so wonderfully encouraged us to do. And I want you to know this, honey. Listen, there's enough sadness in this world to do a man for life. Thank God the Lord's coming, and he's fixing to turn it in to gladness. His presence makes the difference. The Word of God said, you say, preacher, it's been a while since I've experienced his presence. Well, let me ask you something. Whose fault is that? The Word of God said in Hebrews chapter 13, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. I'll tell you, beloved, listen, if you're not experiencing his presence and you're a child of God, it's not his fault. Amen. He's right there with you, and he wants to help you. What made the difference was his presence. Oh, I thank the Lord for his presence, don't you? I've been standing in a pulpit before, Coulter. This seemed like I was drier in last year's bird's nest. This seemed like I didn't even know if I was on the right page in the Bible, Brother Steve. All of a sudden, he showed up. I'm telling you, beloved, his presence will make the difference in your life. Are you looking for him? I saw him today. I saw him yesterday. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, the culture mentioned the flowers. Oh, I see the leaves putting out. Amen. I see the birds going around and picking up their little worms. And I see them caring for the babies. They got a little nest under the shed back there. And I see what the Lord's doing. Amen. The Bible said, I went out last night and looked up into the sky and saw the stars. And the Bible said, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Beloved, if I can't experience his presence, it's never his fault. It's my fault. And more than likely, the Bible said, your sin is separated between you and your God. There's something there, beloved, that's got the channel blocked up. And we need to get it unblocked. His presence will turn a sad time into a glad time. Secondly, his peace will turn a sad time into a glad time. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I don't know that I've ever picked up on this. But watch this. The Word of God said here, Jesus came. They're assembled for fear of the Jews. They're behind closed doors. And Jesus came and he stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. I don't know about you. I've never heard the audible voice of God. But Brother Steve, can you close your eyes and imagine what these words sounded like coming out of the mouth of the Son of God? I believe they were as smooth as butter. Amen. Peace be unto you. I believe that the way that he said it, the way that it was delivered, they knew that he knew that they were in a turmoil and that he was exactly what they needed. And he spoke peace They had heard that before. Remember when he stepped out on the bow of the ship and the waves were going and crashing and the wind was roaring? He said, "Peace, be still." And beloved, they saw that Sea of Galilee just lay down. I've said this kind of jokingly, but I believe a tadpole was afraid to jump. I believe it was like a sea of glass when you looked out on the Sea of Galilee. But watch this now. I never caught this before. The Word of God said in verse number 21, "Then said Jesus to them again." Ain't that something, Brother Steve? Jesus knew that somebody in that room was still struggling. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that when we're struggling, he don't hold it again? He just says, "Let me tell you again. Peace be unto you." Some of us, Brother Rose, are a little bit thicker-headed, amen? But we have a Savior that's in the again business. He'll just come speak to our heart again, amen? And he said, "Peace be unto you." What a blessing it is to have peace with God through the blood of his cross. What a blessing it is to have the peace of God, because we know that we're in him. I was thinking about Brother Thurman's boys. Lucas is one of them. What's the other one's name, Brother Steve? Zach. Lucas and Zach. You know, they're going right into the front line, but they're going with the peace of God in their heart. They had a mommy and daddy that taught them about Jesus, and they trusted Jesus as their Savior, and they realized, beloved, listen, that there's no substitute for his peace. Now, I want to give you this tonight. The Word of God said here that's teaching us that his presence can turn a sad time into a glad time. His peace can turn a sad time into a glad time. But I want you to see his promise. You say, "Pastor, I don't understand where you get promise out of this." Well, in John chapter number 2, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up." You know what Jesus promised? He said, "I'm going to raise it up." They thought he was talking about the temple there in Jerusalem. The Bible tells us plainly, "Then said the Jews, 46 years was the temple and building. Wilt thou rear it in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body." Now listen to me. He was making a promise. "Destroy this temple. In 3 days, I'll raise it up." They say, "Preacher, what do you mean his peace and his presence and his promise?" I want to show you. "But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered." That's what the Word of God said, that he had said thus to them, and they believed the Scripture and the Word which Jesus had said. I believe, listen, when Jesus stepped in their midst, and you say, "Preacher, what did he say?" They said there, he said, "When they saw his hands and his side." You know what they were looking at? A promise fulfilled. They said, "Listen, this temple's going to be destroyed, but in 3 days, I'm going to raise it up again." He told them over and over and over. He promised them, "It's not going to be the end. I'll be back, amen. I will rise again." In John chapter 16, in verse number 20, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," he said, "you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." You know what the world was doing when they crucified Jesus? They were rejoicing. You know what his people were doing? They were lamenting. And they were sorrowful. They were grieving that their precious Savior was hanging there on that tree the way that he was. But Jesus said, "I want you to remember something. I promise you, your sorrow is going to be turned into joy." I want you to know tonight, child of God, I don't know where you're at in your sorrow, but I promise you this, God has already let us see the last chapter in the last book. And beloved, we're going to a place where there's no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, for the former things are passed away. We'll never worry about paying another bill, never worry about another disease, never worry about going to the grocery store. I'm telling you, all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. His promise, he promised. Then he showed him his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. I'm going to tell you something right now. I've never seen him with these eyes. These eyes couldn't stand to see him. But I tell you, I will. I'm going to see him one day. And I believe I'm going to be glad and gladder and glad and gladder, my friend, that I served him with my life. His promise, he's coming again. He said he would rise again, and he did. He said he's coming again, and he will. Beloved, his promise ought to bring gladness to our heart. Now let me give you this. One of the things that's going on in our world today, all around the world, people are locked in and locked up, so to speak, locked down. They're not getting out. A lot of times the road, the highways, they show pictures on the news of what used to be a bustling city, and there's nobody on the street. The restaurants are closed up, and it wouldn't hurt my feelings if they closed the bars up for good. Amen. I'm just telling you right now, I just throwed that in there for free. Amen. Wouldn't hurt my feelings a bit. Then there wouldn't be 10,000 people a year killed by drunk drivers, maybe. Amen. If we could do something about that. But listen, his promise, he said, look here at my hands, look here at my side. But here's something that I believe is important in this text, in turning their sorrow into joy, their sadness into gladness, and that was his purpose. See, God, when he saves a man, gives him a purpose for living. Watch what I'm talking about here. Jesus, in verse 21, he said, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. Here it is, Brother Steve. Look what a purpose you and I have. He said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Boy, I tell you, that'll put a smile on your face to think, beloved, that we're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're sent here on a mission, that we have the power because the Spirit of God lives in us, because the sword of the Spirit that we have and we carry and we read and we preach, we can knock holes in the darkness down here in this old world that we live in. Oh, beloved friend, his purpose. A lot of people don't have any purpose in life. They have no reason to get up in the morning. I'm glad I have a purpose. You know, a lot of people, listen to me carefully. They said, listen, lots of people said, Pastor, what a blessing the videos are. Do you understand what a blessing they are to me? I probably would have done busted by now if I couldn't preach somewhere. Amen. It's a blessing just to be able to get up and open the Bible and know that some heart somewhere is going to be blessed, not because of the preacher, but because of the purpose that God has given us in this walk of life. Thank the Lord. The Father sent me, even so send I you. I want you to listen to this little illustration. I hope it'll be a blessing. Then I'll get to the last thing in the message. A third century man was anticipating death. He penned these last words to a friend. He said, it's a bad world, an incredibly bad world. Wonder what he would have said if he was living in our day. He said that in the third century. But he said, but I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and a holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is a thousand times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are Christians, and I am one of them. Say hallelujah. That'll turn your sadness into gladness. Just to realize, beloved, you have a purpose here in this life. Let me say this to you tonight. I believe our testimony as God's people will never be more powerful than when we're walking in a valley. I have a man sitting here tonight, a dear brother, Rose. Less than 2 weeks ago, he buried his precious wife. But he wants to go on for God. He knows, beloved, listen, that our days down here are numbered. And they're short. And we're headed for a reunion around the throne of God with our loved ones. With men like David and men like Jeremiah and men like Isaiah, men like John. Beloved, listen, it's going to be a glorious time. We need to fulfill the purpose that God has given us. Now I want to give you this, and I hope that you'll understand this. There's a man in this meeting here behind the closed doors, Brother Coulter, by the name of Peter. Brother Steve, the last time that he looked at Jesus, he saw disappointment in the eyes of the Savior. As he was out there warming by the fire, and Jesus, you know, he told Jesus, I'll go with you all the way. Jesus said, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. I'm glad he knows us. And he still loves us. He knows our uprisings. He knows our down sittings. He knows, beloved, how frail that we are. And he still loves us. The next thing I want to tell you, I just want to give you quickly, is the next thing in the message, turning a sad time into a glad time, is his pardon. I believe, Brother Steve, when he heard the Savior's voice, yeah, he looked at his hands and he looked at his side. But I believe he looked in those eyes again, and that disappointment was gone. I believe Peter knew. You say, preacher, how could you say that in this text? Well, the Word of God said right here, he breathed on him and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. God ain't going to breathe on nobody that ain't been pardoned of their sin. I believe somehow, Brother Rose, Peter knew. It's okay. Now, Jesus is going to confirm that a little bit later when they go out fishing and they have that discussion on the shore. Peter, lovest thou these more than me? Lovest thou me more than these? He's going to say, I love thee, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. But I want you to understand, I believe right here in this room, Peter knew there's something different. There's something different. You see, watch this now. In Mark chapter 16, you remember when the women went down to the tomb? I love it. And they were told by the angel to go tell the disciples. You remember that? That Jesus had risen. But in Mark chapter 16, in verse number 7, he said, but go your way, tell his disciples. Then he uses two words, and Peter. He didn't name anybody else, Brother Steve, but he said, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. I believe there's something special going on here in this room. Jesus steps in. He knows where they are. He knows why they're there. He knows what's going on in their heart. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Just read the Bible. He always knows where we are. He always knows what's going on in their heart. He knows why we're where we are. And I believe it's revealed in those words. The first thing he says is, peace be unto you. He could have stepped in their midst just as easy and said, boys, what's the matter with you? I've been trying to tell you now for 3.5 years how this thing's going to go down. He's asked them in other places, where's your faith? But that ain't what they need right now. What we need right now is not somebody to be critical. We need somebody to step in the presence where people are gathered, where people are fearful. They need to hear the voice of God. Peace be unto you. I think about Samaritan's Purse, Brother Steve, being up there in, what's the name of that park in New York? Central Park up there in New York, and doing what they can to be a blessing, doing what they can to be a help. They have a purpose. Now, their purpose goes a lot deeper than the physical. They want somebody to see Jesus. There's a bunch of doctors and nurses that are volunteering. They're not getting paid. They're putting their life on the line, amen, and not even being paid. Why? Because they've been pardoned by the God of heaven and because they have a purpose in this walk of life. It doesn't seem like much of a message tonight, but it's what God put on my heart, turning the sad time into a glad time. I know that it won't be long, and he that shall come will come. And for the believer, for the born-again believer, we're going to have a time. We're going to rejoice. We're going to be free from the trouble and the cares of this world. We're going to be free. Some of us as believers, we're kind of haunted by our past. And I'm not going to go into that a whole lot, but I'm glad that I'll have a mind that will never go back again. I'm glad that I'll have hands that will always do that which pleases the Lord. It will be a blessing. And until then, we strive to serve him and strive to please him. It's my prayer that God will take the message tonight and use it. If you should happen to be listening and you don't know Jesus, I want to tell you, if you think this is a sad time, it is. But there's a whole lot worse than this coming on the world. The book of the Revelation speaks of the judgment of God that's coming upon the world. The book of the Revelation teaches us, beloved, that there's going to be judgment on the earth. Pestilence, disease. I can't even begin to fathom men and women and boys and girls running to the rocks, running to the mountains and crying, hide us from the face of Almighty God. The Bible said they're going to want to die and not be able to die. Let me encourage you, beloved. Let your sadness be turned into gladness. That gladness will not only be here as you serve the Lord, but it'll be eternal in the presence of the Lord, the one that loved you, the one that gave himself for you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege, the heaven-bought privilege, Lord, to stand one more time to share a little thought from the Word of God. Lord, it's my prayer tonight that you'll bless your people with peace. Lord, in the midst of all of this, keep them safe. Help us, Lord, to help carry somebody else's burden. Lord, I pray you'd protect those on the front lines in the healthcare system. Protect those on the front lines, Lord, that are carrying the gospel. Lord, we know we have an enemy, an adversary, who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Lord, I pray you'd keep us. Guide our hearts. Guard our hearts. Help us, Lord, that we might have an effective ministry for the one that loved us and gave himself for us. For we ask it all
In Jesus' precious name, and amen. God bless you.